There he sat. There he sat. Pants rolled up, socks off, feet exposed, people around him watching and waiting. This was extremely unusual. The faces of those watching did not help, as it made him even more uncomfortable that he was the guinea pig for this experiment. Now, many thoughts about this scenario were flooding through his head at this point. The first thought that hit him was the same thought that pretty much every girl between 7th and 9th grade gets when her parents try to do something fun. This is stupid, he thought. The second thought that hit him was how he could have let himself get in this situation in the first place. I mean, he could have fought. He could have said no. He could have been a little bit less compliant, but no, he had to go along with it. The third thought that hit him was why he was the one in the chair, pants rolled up, socks off, feet exposed. Shouldn't this be the other way around? And then things got even weirder. The next thing John knew, Jesus took his foot and dipped it into a bowl and then dried it with a towel. And as the last drop of water was wiped off, Jesus moved on to the others in the room. And then he came to Peter. Peter did what John wished he would have done. He fought back. No, Lord, you will never wash my feet. Jesus looked at Peter and said a simple but firm phrase. He said, unless I wash your feet, unless I wash you, you have no part in me. Boom. It was a verbal nunchuck to the face. And Peter dropped in the chair like a mic out of a rapper's hand at the end of a show. But these were not the words that gripped John the most. It was what Jesus said after that that would stick with him for as long as he lived. Jesus said this, if I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done. And then it all finally made sense. See, John remembered what Jesus had said to him the time that John had tried to secure his place in Jesus' kingdom. And Jesus had said to him this, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This moment, this washing of their feet, was a living picture of what Jesus had meant when he talked about this idea of serving. And now John realized that he had a choice. And the choice was, would he follow in his footsteps? That was the choice. You guys, today, I want to talk with you about one of the purposes that we have here at FSM. And if you watch the Taking Back Wednesdays video, we've been trying to put in language about our vision so that it sticks with you, so that you understand what you're a part of and why you're a part of it and what we're striving for when it comes to your life. And one of those things is that we want to raise up and unleash a generation of students who contribute with their gifts and talents. Look at me. Look at me. Contribute with their gifts and talents. Okay? What that is this. That's code for this. That's code for we want students at FSM to have a high value when it comes to serving. We want you to have a high value for what it means to be a servant and to have a servant's heart and to be contributing with the gifts God's given you in every place that you find yourself. That's what that is. I want to take just a quick minute here. Just a quick minute. There's many students in this room who serve in some kind of a way in FSM, okay? And they take, week after week, they serve you. They serve this ministry. There's some adults in here who week after week serve this student ministry and serve this church. So here's what I want to do. Really quick, if you serve in any capacity with FSM or with faith, I want you to just stand up really quick. Just stand up really quick. Don't feel awkward. Just stand up, okay? And these people who are standing, I want you to give them a hand. Give them a hand. Good. Don't forget the people that are back there in the booth. They're all standing. Give them a big hand. Good. Go ahead and sit down. My hope today is this, that by the time you leave this service, that if you're not serving, that you would consider serving. In fact, not even consider. My prayer and hope is that you would be inspired that serving needs to become a part of your life and that you take some tangible steps that we're going to offer at the very end to do that. And for those of you who already served, the many of you who stood up, first of all, well done. And second of all, I hope that you'll still be inspired to keep serving, okay? That you'd be inspired and that you'd understand maybe even more about why you do it. So I want you to repeat this phrase with me. Ready? Blessed, broken, given away. Say it again. Blessed, broken, and given away. Good. Now say it with some conviction. Blessed, broken, given away. Very good. We're going to come back to that phrase often throughout today. And by the time you leave, you will have it memorized, and you'll be singing it, and you'll be preaching it. Okay, let's go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Give you a minute to get there. You have a cell phone. Y'all have a cell phone. Your cell phone can be used as a blessing, or it can be used as a distraction. My prayer is that you would use it as a tool for your benefit and not to distract yourself nor others around you. Amen? We're in Mark 6. Mark 6. Okay. Here we go. Mark 6, chapter verse 31 says this. And he said to them, talking about Jesus, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Say eat. That's going to come in really important. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Bah. Okay. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. Say, eat. Let me set this up for you. Many of you are familiar with this story, but for those of you who aren't, I'm going to catch you up really fast. Here's what's going on here. We read at the very, very beginning in verse 31, it says this. Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says this, come away to a desolate place and rest a while. The disciples and Jesus were active in doing ministry. They were doing all kinds of ministry. People were constantly coming to Jesus. His popularity had increased. And so the disciples, as his right-hand men, helping him in this whole thing, they're right by him. They're in the thick of it. They're in the midst of this. Jesus is teaching, but the disciples, they're helping. I mean, they're ministering. They're doing stuff as well. They're pastor's assistants, okay? It says this, that they were so busy, they didn't even have time to eat. For many were coming and going, they had no leisure, even time to eat. Have you ever gone through a day and you've been so busy that all of a sudden you come to the inn and you realize, I didn't even have lunch, and I barely had breakfast, and I'm starving. Have you ever had those moments? I've had those before, okay? And I work at an office, so I'm not like running around the place, but I'll be on my computer and realize, I forgot to eat, and I'm really, really hungry because you get going on stuff, okay? That happens to all of us, all right? So that's what's happening. So Jesus says, let's get in the boat. Let's take some leisure time. We're going to go across the sea. We'll go to the other side. We'll rest. Well, guess what happens? Everybody sees them going, and they run around to the other side. And so they're hoping to have some rest, and they show up, and guess what? All the people are there again, ready to be ministered to and served, all right? So they haven't had time to eat. They get off the boat. Imagine the disciples. They're kind of grumpy. They're a little frustrated, probably how I would be. Like, gosh, man. Like, we'll put it in student ministry context, okay? I'm ministering to students, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. I need to go get a break. And I drive home, and then all the students are hanging out at my house waiting for me, wanting to play. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's what's going on here, okay? So the disciples have to re-guard their attitude, okay? They have to re-up themselves. They've got to get ready. All right, we got to minister to these people again. So Jesus, patient, he teaches them, but then the hour gets late. It gets late. And the disciples, who are already hungry, now come to Jesus and say, listen, we're hungry. These guys are hungry. Send them away so they can go get some food. All right? I want to highlight this idea of hunger and eating and food. All right? The disciples are hungry. The people are hungry. Now, the people in the story are physically hungry, yes, but there's something else that the people in the story are. They're spiritually hungry. These people are spiritually hungry, and that's why they keep following Jesus around, because Jesus is meeting some kind of a need in their life that's not being met. They're hungry, but it's not for physical food necessarily. I mean, they are, but they're hungry for something else, something even more. Hunger is simply this. Hunger is simply an unmet need. If you're hungry for something, that means that there's a need that you have that's not being met, and therefore it needs to be satisfied with something. So if you're physically hungry, you haven't been met with the need of food, and so you need food to meet that need, all right? If you're a guy in here, I'm sorry, but your needs are never met when it comes to food and physical hunger. Can I get an amen? It just doesn't happen. You're constantly in a state of hunger. It's an unmet need in your life, and I'm sorry. And it will probably always be like that. So it just is what it is. The cross that you have to bear, okay? FSM, I want to remind you of something. Look at me. I want to remind you of something. Here's what I want to remind you about. There are people all around you who are hungry and have unmet needs. There are people all around you who are hungry and have unmet needs. And I'm not talking about food. People all around you who are hungry and have all kinds of unmet needs. There are people around you who are lonely and they are hungry for belonging. They're hungry to belong somewhere. They're hungry for somebody to say, hey, you can be my friend. They're hungry for somebody to just reach out and say, hey, I care about you. I acknowledge that you're here, and I appreciate you. There's those around you, and when I say around you, I want you to literally think that it's around you, like right now. I mean, as you look to the right and left, there's people right in this room who have unmet needs, who are hungry. There's people who here even today who feel rejected, and they're hungry for love. They're hungry for somebody to just love them. There's people in this room who want their life to matter, and they're hungry for significance. They're hungry to know that their life matters for something, that their life is more than, it's more than just waking up and going to school and going to bed. They're hungry to know that their life matters more. Now, something interesting happens here. Back to the story. Okay, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, these people are hungry. You need to feed them, give them something to eat. But Jesus responds very uniquely. Back to the verse. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. And they said to him, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? Sarcastic way of saying, all the money that we could ever earn in a year is not going to buy enough food. Like, what do you expect us to do, bro? Verse 38, and he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. They went, they found out, and they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. I want to draw your attention to this idea. First of all, people are hungry. People are hungry, okay? And the disciples, there's this need that needs to be met, and the disciples, they're asking Jesus, go send them away. Go send them away so that their needs can be met. And Jesus says, no, I want you to meet that need. I want you to step in. I know they're hungry, but I'm not going to send them away. I want you to be the one that meets their needs. Jesus basically says this, what makes you think that you can't solve this? What makes you think that you can't help in this situation? And what he does is this, he invites them to partner with him in meeting the needs of these people. He asks them to partner with him in this incredible miracle that he's about to perform. One of the greatest miracles, one of the most well-known miracles. So with that, I want to remind you of this, FSM. People around you are hungry. People around you are hungry and have unmet needs. But second thing is this, FSM. Jesus wants to use you to meet the needs of those people that are all around you. Jesus wants to use you to meet those needs. He wants to partner with you, and he wants to use you in the miracle in their life. And the way that happens is when you serve. The way that happens is when you take a step out and say, you know what, I'm going to put myself in a place where I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to serve other people. Back to the verse. He's got the lunch, okay? And then it says this, then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. Verse 40, so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven. Looked up to heaven. Say, looked up to heaven. Oh, I think I lost you. Say, looked up to heaven. Okay, I got you back. Good. Squirrel, think you all had a squirrel moment, and I caught you on it. Say loaves. Okay, Jesus has got the loaves, okay? He's got the loaves in his hand. Put the loaves in your hand. Put the loaves in your hand. Here we go. Good, good. Okay, you got the loaves? Okay, good. Hold them up. Okay? He looked up to heaven. Look up to heaven. And he said a blessing. Say blessing. Blessed. Say blessed.
Blessed.
Keep it up there. Keep it up there. Keep it up there. He said a blessing. And he broke the loaves. Break the loaves. Break them. Say blessed. Say broken. Break the loaves. Did you break the loaves? If you broke the loaves, you should have one in this hand and one in the other. Do you have it? Don't give it away. Keep it. Hold it. Hold it. Make sure you got it. He blessed. He broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples. Give them to the disciples. Give them to the disciples. Give them. Give them away. Repeat after me. Okay, focus back. Look at me. Eyes on me. Say blessed.
Blessed.
Broken.
Broken.
Given away.
Given away.
Let's say it again with a little more passion. Blessed.
Blessed.
Broken.
Broken.
Given away.
Given.
Good. Verse 42. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate loaves that day were 5,000 men. I want to focus in on the bread, okay? I want to focus on the bread. What did Jesus do with the bread? He blessed it. He broke it. And then he gave it away. But he used the disciples to give it away. You see, the bread didn't start multiplying until the disciples took it and started bringing it to people. Then all of a sudden, oh my goodness, it's starting to multiply. We're passing it out, but it still keeps coming. How is this happening? How is this happening? This is incredible. This is a miracle. I want to draw your attention to this idea, you guys, that the way that Jesus took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it away, that is a pattern. It's very, very similar to how he uses us. It's very similar to how he uses us in the lives of people. Are you hearing me on that? You hearing me on that? First, God blesses you. How many of you would say, honestly, that God's blessed your life in some kind of a way? Okay? All right? Let me tell you how God's blessed you in case you don't know. First way that God's blessed you is that he saved you. When you put your faith in Jesus, you're forgiven of your sins. You have a chance. You have new life given to you. You have eternal life. You have spirit-empowered life. You don't have to be ashamed of your past because your sins are forgiven. And you can live in light. That's a huge blessing. That's how God blesses you. God blesses you in other kinds of ways. He puts people in your life who are a blessing to you. He provides for tangible needs. That's a blessing to you. So Jesus, God blesses you. God blesses you. But then something else happens after he blesses you. And I want you to hear me on this. This takes some explaining, but it also takes just the Holy Spirit speaking to you about it. Then he breaks you. He breaks you. Let's talk about what that means really quick. There's a couple ways that he can break you. Okay, the first way is this. The first way that he breaks you is that he gives you passions and desires for things that maybe you didn't have before. Maybe after you trust in Christ, he gives you desires and passions for people groups. Or he'll give you a desire and a passion for a certain person. And it's like your heart breaks for them. It's like you want to be involved. You want to help fix whatever's going on in their situation. He breaks you for it. It's like it's a passion on your mind. That's one way that God breaks you. But there's another way that he breaks you, and it's this. You get broken by going through situations in your life that are sometimes challenging, and you get broken in those situations. Let me give you a few examples. You go through a rough breakup with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and you become broken because of it. Your parents get a divorce and you become broken because of it. You struggle with an addiction of some kind, and you're broken in that time because of it. You battle depression, and you become broken because of it. You go through a period where you just don't have any friends. You go through a period of friendlessness, and you're broken because of it. You go through these things, and you become broken. And God uses those things. He uses those things in your life, not to ruin you, but he uses those things so that he can use you. Okay? He puts you through those things not to ruin you, but he puts you through those things so that he can use you. Pastor Brad Cooper says it this way. He says, God only breaks those that he's blessed. And when God blesses you, he wants to break you, not to harm you, not to be mean, but because God wants more for you than just to remain a loaf of bread. He wants to break you so that you can be given away and used in the lives of other people all around you. God blesses you, breaks you. And then what's the third thing? He gives you away. He gives you away. God uses you. He gives you away so that you can be used in the lives of others, so that you can be a blessing to other people. God breaks you. Sometimes he allows you to be broken so that you can help somebody else in a similar situation that you went through, so that you can be a blessing and a help in that person's life. I want to remind you of a verse in Ephesians that says this, for you, say me, you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Say prepared beforehand. That you should walk in them. Do you know what that verse means? Here's what that verse means. That means that before you were born, God had things in mind for you that he wanted you to do. He had things in mind, good works is what they're called here, that he's prepared that you're to walk in them. Your life isn't just a matterless kind of thing that exists. Your life has purpose. God has a purpose for your life, in case you didn't know. Hopefully you can get that. God has a purpose for your life. I don't care what you think about yourself. I don't care if you have a low opinion of yourself. I don't care if you have a low view on yourself. The truth of the matter is this, is that God has great things in store for you, great things planned for you that he wants you to do. 1 Peter tells us this, each of you has received a gift, and you've received that gift so that you can use it to serve one another as good stewards of what God's given you. God's given every one of you gifts, and those gifts are intended to be used for the benefit and the blessing of other people. But here's the truth, you guys. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to be given away. Sometimes we don't allow ourselves to be given away, and we settle for less than what God wants to give us. We settle for less. Students, I want you to know this, that when you offer yourself as a servant to God, you will always get back more. You will always get back more. You'll never get back less. You just won't. When it comes to serving, sometimes I think we settle for less, but God wants to give us more. I want you to think real quick from this story. I want you to think about the boy who offered up his little pieces of bread, all right? He had 5 little loaves. It would have been very easy for him to have kept those loaves to himself and said, no, you can't take these loaves because these are the only loaves that I have. These are my loaves. I mean, if you take these from me, I don't have any food. He could have kept them nice and close, but what did he do? No, he gave it away. And what happened? 5,000 plus people were fed, and there was 12 basketfuls left over after. See, he could have kept the little and kept little and had little, but he gave the little away, and it multiplied, and it became more. You may have a little bit to offer. You may have a little bit to offer. You may have a whole lot to offer. The question is not whether you have a little or a lot to give away. The question is this, are you giving what you have away? Are you allowing yourself to be given away? Are you? Are you? God's given you experiences, guys. He's given you unique successes, unique hurts, unique struggles, unique joys, all that kind of a thing to be used. And one of the ways that we give ourselves away, one of the ways that we can be given away is literally in the context of a church, literally in the context of the local church. And the local church can be a place where you can learn the value of giving yourself away. You can learn the value of what it means to serve and to contribute and to put others' needs above your own and to be somebody who's a servant-hearted person. As you leave today, if that's not you, if you're not allowing yourself to be given away, then as you walk out those doors, there's going to be an opportunity to do that. And I'll explain what that looks like in just a minute. This is why we do the Denver Dream Center outreach, because we want it to be a value in our student ministry that we are blessed, we're blessed, we've been broken in different ways, and we want to make sure that we're giving ourselves away. We don't want to be so focused on what we're doing here that we don't look to what's going on outside of us. That's why we do the Denver Dream Center. We want to be given away to be a blessing in the lives of others. As you leave today, there is going to be some tables set up, and there's going to be ministry leaders from our church at those tables, and their desire is to recruit you to be given away. That's what their desire is. They want to recruit you so that you can be put in a place of serving here in our church, so that you, who's been blessed, who's been broken, can be given away. So as you go out there today, I want you to be sensitive. I want you to think through, gosh, like, what, God, how do you want me to be given away when it comes to this church? Guys, a side note on this is this. As we make this change, this Taking Back Wednesday's change, we're not making this change so that we can go to Wednesday nights and then have no involvement in what we're doing church-wide here on Sunday. That's not our goal at all. Our goal is that this would provide you an opportunity even more to engage in the life of what's happening at our church. And so for you as a student, if you're a core student that comes here, and here's how I define that. That means you come here often. Faith is your church home. Your parents come here. Let me tell you this. Let me be really, really clear, okay? If you're not serving, you really should be. You need to be serving, in fact. This is your church. You need to be serving in some kind of a way. Because when we make the switch and we're over there on Sundays, the last thing I want to see is students just running around, goofing around, and not serving and not contributing to their church, all right? And I don't want that just so that we can say, hey, we've got FSM kids serving and it's all cool. No. When you serve, God pours into your life in a way that he can't in other kinds of ways. When you serve, you're not only blessing other people, you guys, you are opening your life up for the blessing of God to come on your life. Why would we not want that for you? Why would we not want that for you? We absolutely do. When it comes to serving, oftentimes, one of the struggles I think we have, and I think one of the struggles we have when it comes to serving in the context of a church is this idea that it doesn't really matter. Like, how am I, so when it comes to being a greeter on Sundays, okay, a first impressions person, how is that being given away? Like, how am I being given away? I'm just shaking people's hands. When it comes to working behind the scenes, like, how am I being given away? When it comes to playing with little kids, Zach, how am I given away? I'm not being given away. I'm just filling a spot. I'm just doing busy work, and it doesn't really matter. I want to do something that matters. I want to do something tangible that actually makes a difference. Here's my response to you on that. Many times, many, many times, we don't see the impact. We don't realize the impact of the stuff that we do. That's just the reality. Even when you're doing stuff that you think really matters, even then you don't see or feel sometimes the impact of what that's doing. And here's the truth, you guys. God sometimes shields us from our impact for our own good so that we don't become arrogant and prideful. Sometimes God just kind of shields us from the impact we're actually having so that we don't even see what we're doing. But I will tell you this, the most mundane of serving, God can use as a blessing in someone else's life. The most mundane thing you think of is one of the ways that you can be given away. that you can be given away in. All around you, there are hungry people. All around you, there are unmet needs. And God wants to use you, you guys, to fill those needs.